You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another fabulous episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate. I'm your host, Michael Kushner, and I'm so excited you're joining me for this episode featuring Sarah Looper. Before we get into this episode, just a reminder that I am doing strike-friendly rates at Michael Kushner Photography. So if you're looking for headshots or portraits during this time when we are on strike, please head to my website, www.michaelkushnerphotography.com, and submit. Let's get you into the studio. As always, this episode is brought to you by Swoveralls. I am recording in Swoveralls. I work in Swoveralls. I go to events in Swoveralls. And you're probably asking, what are Swoveralls? Well, Swoveralls are sweatpant overalls. And I have in blue, black, burnt orange, pink lemonade, and my husband has so many as well. I literally cannot get out of them. I'm obsessed with them. And the only way to multi-hyphenate is to be in Swoveralls. So head to Swoveralls.com and multi-hyphenate in fashion and comfort. I mean, sweatpant overalls. That's pretty amazing. Also, please buy my book, How to Be a Multi-Hyphenate in the Theater Business, Conversations, Advice, and Tips from Dear Multi-Hyphenate. You can buy it online at Amazon or on the Rutledge Publishing website, but please go to the Drama Bookshop, support the Drama Bookshop. Nothing like walking into the Drama Bookshop and being overwhelmed in the best way possible with all of the best theater books. So pick up your copy and let me know that you got it. Take a picture, take a selfie, tag Dear Multi-Hyphenate on Instagram or at the Michael Kushner on Instagram or at the Michael Kushner on TikTok and let me know that you got it. Let's build a community. This episode is all about community, so make yourself known. And speaking of social media, follow, rate, subscribe, comment, you know, share this podcast. Where would I be without you? So please do that. Let's get into this episode. It's pretty amazing. I'm speeding up this intro because I have a puppy that is staring at me, trying to get me to play with him with some toys. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and let's get into it. Sarah Looper. Oh, such a great conversation. Sarah has been in the wine and food world for over 25 years. She's a Master Sommelier candidate, a certified wine educator, a certified specialist of wine, and a graduate of the WSET diploma program. Her passion for wine lies firmly in educating and sharing her knowledge in an open, friendly, and non-judgmental atmosphere. She has been a wine educator for 15 years. She was a lead wine educator at New York City's Murray's Cheese for 9 years and taught specialized Italian wine classes at Astor Center for 4 years. She's an advanced gelato maker, and she cooks at home most nights, seeking to put her own stamp on classic and regional fare, ranging from French cuisine to Szechuan. Whenever possible, she collects and drinks champagne, Barolo, and German Cabernet Riesling, but is an equal opportunity drinker. So am I, Sarah. Sarah is a graduate of the University of Colorado at Boulder with a BA in history and a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America's Baking and Pastry program. She could be found on Instagram at LooperSom. I'm going to put all that information on social media, and please follow her. Her social media is so educational and funny and brilliant. And I'm recording this on Yom Kippur, so if anyone is celebrating or experiencing the holidays like I am, have a good fast and see you at the spread. Now I'm just thinking about bagels and lox. All right, enjoy the episode. Now, I got to say, I've had Carol Burnett on this podcast. I've had Carson Kressley, Rachel Brosnahan, so many incredible people. I am maybe more excited to speak with you. I found you on TikTok, and there's something about your energy that immediately grabbed me in, and I was like, I want to be friends with her, and I have no idea what she's talking about, but I want to know more. It's like you have one of the most successful, in my eyes, one of the most successful, and I don't love saying this, content creator personalities
Oh, thank you.
That I found. And I was just like, I have to talk to her. I have to work with her because I just think you're amazing. So I am so excited to talk with you, Sarah Looper.
Me too, Michael.
This is so fabulous. And it's amazing, like the powers of, I'm still not convinced on TikTok, but.
I know. I don't understand TikTok. TikTok is its own thing that I just post shit and I'm like, I don't know. It's like it goes into this TikTok abyss.
Well, the reason why I think that works is because you do that, because it's so genuine. So, you know.
Because I throw it into the abyss. Get in there.
Get it out. And, you know, that's something that so many creators need to hear, because I think the more curated. Oh, my God. Excuse me. You're Jewish, right?
Half Jewish. Yeah.
So you understand. I'm just going to burp randomly. I'm so sorry about that.
No, that's totally fine. You should be having a black cup of coffee and maybe some, you know, whitefish salad, too.
I know. Then my 12 o'clock client is not going to be too happy about that. But yeah, but I will be at least. So, you know, we have constant IBS prop tummy issues. So I'm very sorry that in the middle of that sentence, I just burped.
No, all my uncles did that. And then my aunts would be like, Norman, what are you doing?
And then kiss you on the lips.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And leave like, and if it was the aunt, she'd leave a big red or like hot pink mark that's like half on your mouth and then half on your cheek.
Yep. That was my Aunt Babe. And my Uncle Al was the one that gave like the big sloppy, sweaty kisses. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Yes.
And you couldn't wipe it off, because then it'd be like, what are you doing?
Right. No, you had to walk around Aunt Dottie's house with the, you know, the bagel platter and the game playing. Because, you know, I'm talking about it and it's like my grandpa had seven brothers and sisters and they're all gone except one. And I know it's like it's so sad. It's, you know, they were so of their time. And you just brought back such a good memory, because it's I miss that, you know, and I hope I can.
Yeah, me too. I miss my aunts and uncles.
I do. And family is really important. And I don't know about you, but being a multi-hyphenate, which for new listeners, for your listeners, I'm a multi-hyphenate in the theater, and I do many things. I say a multi-hyphenate is an artist who has multiple proficiencies which cross-pollinate. So that's what we're going to be talking a lot about today, is the cross-pollination to help flourish professional capabilities. And one of the visions that I've always had for myself in terms of being a working theater maker is also having a family with that as well. So, you know, I'm not just working for myself. I'm working for my husband. I'm working for my puppy. I'm working for my two future kids. I'm working to buy my mom that house that she wants. And, you know, I'm working to get a massive brownstone that I can move my grandma into. It's like, those are the goals. It's not just to, I don't need fame. I don't even think I want fame. I just think I want respect in the people that seek me out and work with me. I want to create respected work, leave a legacy, and also build a family. I don't know about you, Sarah, but what are sort of your goals? First of all, let's do this. How do you identify as an artist, as a multi-hyphenate, and what are some of your goals in what you do?
That's such a great and thoughtful question. Thank you for asking it. Nodding back to to the top of this conversation, how people would say like, oh, and now you're doing this. So many times in my life, people were like, oh, can you just decide? Like, pick a fucking lane.
Right.
And I'd be like, but I like all the lanes. I want to try all the lanes.
Who's a lane?
And what's that?
Who's a lane?
And who's a lane? And who the hell is a lane? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
It's fascinating though how other people, because they don't feel comfortable with the changes that you're making, so they look for, they feel more comfortable if you are just one thing. And I have been, God, I've been in the restaurant industry for a very long time, in and out of it, mostly in it. But I worked in PR and I hated it. I worked in My God, I've been everything inside a restaurant, from a dishwasher to a busser to a back waiter to a server to a captain to a somm to a wine director to a manager. I've been, God, and then in the wine world, I've been in important distribution. I've been in wine education, which I am doing right now. I've been a wine director at some very highfalutin places like Moss Farmhouse under a James Beard Award-winning chef for 2 years, where I really had to exercise and do a deep dive into France, particularly Burgundy and Bordeaux, and then off appellations, and learn how to pair dishes that would change not only seasonally, but sometimes daily, because the James Beard Award-winning chef, Galen Zamara, who is extremely talented, he would change up the menu. He'd be like, oh, you know what? I know that I said that I would be serving duck for this, a duck dish for the fall. And I know that I said that I would be doing chanterelles with it, but instead of chanterelles, my chanterelle guy didn't show up. So I'm doing, you know, enoki mushrooms, and I'm going to serve them raw instead of sauteing them. And then, you know, instead of the duck breasts, I'm going to be doing confit with the duck thigh. And like, the cooking method completely changes what kind of wine you pair with it. And then he'd be like, oh yeah, I'm going to take off the sweet potatoes and I'm going to put on something else. And you're like, fuck, that requires a totally different wine. So I learned how to be a multi-hyphenate within just that one restaurant.
Yes.
I also went to culinary school for baking and pastry because I wanted to make wedding cakes. So I also worked as an assistant chocolatier for a year and a half. Like, I've been deep in the food and wine world, and deep in the wine world for so many things. I feel like I'm just spewing all these different things. And I've worked harvest, and I've worked in wine journalism, and I've been so many things. And I actually had one guy I was interviewing for a wine director position with a very big restaurant group. I ended up getting the job, but this guy during the interview was like, he's looking at my resume and he goes, wow, you've been a lot of things in the wine world. Why haven't you just stuck with one thing? And I was like, because he saw retail and restaurants and wholesale and education. And he was like, you haven't spent a lot of time at any of these places. Like, it was a bad thing.
Mm.
And I had spent at least 2 years at every single thing. And I was like, okay, first of all, it's a great thing to have a wine director who has worked in the kitchen, who knows how to communicate front of the house and back of the house, who understands pressure, accuracy, timing, who knows about how to educate the staff, to empower the front of the house staff so that they feel more confident on the floor when they're selling a bottle of wine. When a customer says, oh, what's the difference between these two French reds? That they know the difference, not only between region, but climate and grape varietal and style and what they taste like and how they're going to pair. And I said, you're never going to find it. There's only one other person that I know of, and she's now a master of wine, and she would not take this job, who has had the kind of breadth of experience and depth of experience that I have. So I challenge you to find someone else who is as talented as I am. I got sick and tired of, especially men, telling me, oh, you're too this. When I was an actor, I had a lot of, you look a lot like Minnie Driver. Or you're too ethnic, you're too tall, your hair's too curly. Everything was your two, two, two. And for my entire life, it's been, God, Sarah's a lot. And for a long time, I absorbed that. And I changed how I behaved, how I expressed myself. I quieted down a lot. And a few years ago, I saw an ad in the subway from Il Maquillage, the makeup company, that said, if I'm too much, or if you think I'm too much, maybe you're not enough. And I was like, fuck yes. And for some reason, that reading those words, I was like, I'm gonna let all that stupid baggage go, because it's just stupid baggage. It's garbage. and you need to be yourself and you need to find your voice. And for some reason, I have found this confluence of all my voices in all of my experience for Lupersum. And I had been trying for years. I started teaching wine in 2008. So for 15 years, I've been teaching about wine. And I taught at every single restaurant that I worked at. I taught the staff. It was a bi-weekly wine class so that they would feel more comfortable, but also help inspire some folks to get into the wine business. And you know what? I did that. I got Heather McMahon, who's now a famous comedian. She was one of my bartenders.
Wow.
I got her and Chris Kettner into wine. I inspired one of the guys from the Metropolitan Opera House when I worked at the Grand Tier. He's now in wine. He's on the West Coast. She was a back waiter. Her name is Carrie. She got into wine. She became the German wine buyer at Chamber Street Wines. And now she works for an importer and distributor.
Wow.
And I'm not taking credit for any of these people's successes, because their success is based on their own voice, their own energy, their own motivation. But I like to think that I helped inspire or spark a flame in them that really helped them find their own confidence so that they could find their own voice. And wine is really about sharing. If you're not sharing what you know, then what the fuck are you doing? You are embracing it. You're holding it all to yourself. You're not sharing. You're not being a community person. You're not supporting others. And I had an experience when I was at a very high-end white tablecloth restaurant as a captain. And the wine director, this was very early on in my career. I was still acting. It was 2004. I was still acting. And I get this job, highfalutin place, very like quote unquote important wine director, big, tall white guy. And I was still learning about wine, and I had a table come in and they were very excited. It was their anniversary. And they were like, "Oh, we really like Suave. We see you have this one on the list. We don't want to break the bank. We don't even know the grape in Suave. What's this wine like?" And I was like, "You know, I don't even really know, but the wine director's here. Let me go get him." I chased him down and I was like, "We've got this table. Give me three words that I can sell this wine. And also, what's the grape in Suave?" And the only thing that he focused on, he looked me square in the eye and looked down at me, literally, because he's so tall. And he goes, "You don't know what the grape in Suave is?" And I was like, "No, but tell me, I'll never forget it. And then give me three words to sell this wine." And as he's turning around and starts to walk away from me, he doesn't even give me three sizzle words to sell the wine. He goes, "Everyone knows that the grape in Suave is," and he says it as he's walking away, so I can't even hear it. And I was like, "You cocksucker. You jackass." And in that moment, and I go back to that moment all the time, because I'm like, I never want anyone to feel that way with me, ever. Like, it brings tears to my eyes, because I'm like, I felt so fucking small because of something that he said. And it's at a time, and you know this as an actor, when people are like, "Oh, Sarah, you're too tall. Yeah, you're a little bit too athletically built. You're too heavy. You're too, too, too." And then to be told basically that, "What are you doing in this really expensive restaurant where you need to be selling my wines? The wines that I buy, and you don't even know the grape in this?" And I was just talking about this with my therapist last week, actually, because one of the things that motivates me most is that moment where I just remember so distinctly, I was like, "I will never make anyone feel like that, the way that you just made me feel." And I had to go chase down another captain and go, "Fuck, he didn't tell me. I need to sell this wine. I want to sell this wine because the table wanted the wine. I want to get them into something that they like." And it was another captain who said, "Oh, you know, I think the grape is this, and the grape is Garganega." And she gave me two words to sell the wine, and I sold it, and I got on the table. But God, the weight that I carried around with me that night, And clearly, because it brings tears to my eyes, that I clearly still bring with me. I carry it around, but I use it as motivation. And I no longer think I'm stupid or I don't know enough. What I think now is I can learn it and I can communicate what I know in a great way that helps people understand a very complex subject that can be so intimidating and daunting. But I seem to have found my own wine voice and my own social media voice, and it's working and it's landing. And that is what keeps me going, is that it works.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And thank you for sharing that.
That was really long. Sorry.
No, you're here to talk, please. This is I'm an audience member today. I mean, I really can listen to you speak about this for, I love this. This is great. I have so many like stories or relatable content in terms of what you said. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is you said something really important, and that is what I try to, when I have clients in the Headshot studio or if it's personal private coaching with me about being a multi-hyphen in the theater and establishing small businesses, whatever it is, I always make sure that we start with, why are you doing what you're doing? Why is it that you're taking up space? Why are you here getting headshots? Like, what is the main reason? Is it because the pictures no longer tell your stories? Is it because your agent or manager said that you needed some? Is it because you're doing this to celebrate your 40th, you know, revolution around the sun? Like, what is it? And, you know, when you're talking about how you now know how to never let someone feel because of that idiot schmuck that looked down on you like that. I had a teacher. I teach theater business at NYU and now the Norwalk Conservatory, which is really exciting. And I love educating, as you said, and I love teaching and I love sharing. I had a teacher in high school who really did not like me and a few other students because, well, actually, maybe all of the students, because of her own personal stuff. There was another teacher there that was before her that was fired, and we went on a 2-day protest to try to save her. And I think that she kind of clocked all of the students that did that, because we think maybe there was some vying for that position. That's all speculation. But what is fact is that she was not happy with me, did not like me personally. I can only speak from my experience, but I know many other people have the same. And my senior year, I was doing a show, and it was the third night of the show, and I was on my way to school, and I got into a horrible car accident.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I had the green light, I was doing the speed limit, and a truck decided to make what would have been a legal U-turn if no one was coming, but he came directly in front of me, and I T-boned him. Doing like 50. And I was able to get out of the car. Even the doors wouldn't open. My car was, more than total. He was able to get out of the car. And my adrenaline was pumping so hard that I didn't realize that I was in pain until the ambulance came. And I was on the phone with my other teacher that was like, you know, are you okay? And I was like, I promise I'll be at showtime. I'm literally in a stretcher in the ambulance. And I'm like, I will be there. So around 3 p.m., I'm discharged because all my vitals were good. I was starting to show some pain, but they were like, you can go home if you want. And I basically like metaphorically ripped out the like IV. I was like, I have to go. And they're like, you can, but we don't want you to. And I was like, it's fine. I'm going to go. So I showed up to the show, and in my dressing room was this teacher standing there cross-armed in the doorway. And she looked at me and said, where's your homework? She was my
She's a peach.
She's a doll. So yeah. Where's your homework? And she was my voice movement teacher at that time. And she's a peach. And I said, I'm so sorry. I actually don't have it. I think my backpack is still in my car. I don't know if you heard, but I was in a car accident. And she interrupts and goes, no. I know you were in a car accident. The first thing that I thought to myself when I found out you were in a car accident was, how am I going to make Elegies a 4-person show instead of a 5-person show? You know when your homework is due, and I want it first thing in the morning, and walked away.
Oh, thank you.
And I said, it's so beautiful, right? Really just words of wisdom. And I went, I don't think that actually happened. I truthfully did it. Like, I was like, there's no way that could have happened. And I actually like pretty much blacked it out for a while until that memory came back. And I was like, what? Oh. Yeah. And that is one of the biggest things for me in terms of never letting anyone feel like that.
Oh. Yeah.
Feeling like, oh, you don't, it's not even like, I had a cold and I was like sick. I was in a very bad car accident in which I was rushed to the hospital. And you literally said, I didn't care about your well-being. And that is what this man said to you. I don't care about your well-being. I don't care about your success. I don't care about if you are here, there, or anywhere. You don't get help from me. And that is wild to me that people on this planet exist like that.
Yeah, there's a general lack of compassion and thoughtfulness and lack of humanity, lack of connection. And because of all the therapy I've had, I think also I can reach into my own toolbox and go, wow, imagine being them, waking up and looking at that every day in the mirror. When I have a choice, everyone has a choice. And the choice that I make is, I'm going to be really nice to people, because I would rather, I want to be remembered for being kind, because people remember when you're really kind to them and good to them. And then they also remember when you're a total jackass to them. And the wine director who did that to me, he has a, I will not say his name. He doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
He has a horrible reputation in the industry.
There you go.
And he did that to himself without any of my help. I don't need to say one bad thing about him.
Yeah. That's, they'll do it to themselves, you know?
Yeah.
They'll do it to themselves. And, you know, it's another thing that you brought up before is, when you were talking about like longevity at a place on your resume, why are you been to these places? You know, that is a sort of like a corporate thought that is in, I think people don't, in the theater specifically, don't really understand, because like the way that our lives are built as artists is, it's gig life, right? So you don't know if the show on Broadway is going to be a flop or a hit, right? You don't know if you're going to be there for a year and a half or, you know, a month. And so we don't really pay attention to that, because especially regional theater, right? It's a month to 2 months and it doesn't matter. We don't really have dates. We don't have dates on our resume. That's the thing. It's we replace dates with director or some creative team or something like that, right? And there's no descriptions for those of you that are listening that don't really know what an actor resume looks like. There's no descriptions. It's literally show, role, director, and theater. And so because we all know that you're not going to be working at a regional theater doing one show for 6 years. That's not how it works. Those shows tend to be there for a month, maybe 2 months. National tours, you're usually with them for six months to a year. On Broadway, people don't normally stay with the hit for more than a year and a half, 2 years. It's plenty happens. You know, Dangelo Rivera, the original Iago on Broadway, has been with the show since its pre-Broadway tryouts in Seattle in 2000 and 11, 2012. So, you know, there's longevity there, but it's not for everyone. And and so it's really interesting to run into artists that are learning about that with the resume, that longevity. People do care about that. But, you know, I've had experiences where I've been there for a couple of months, I've been there for a year, I did this for this long. And I had this conversation with my husband the other day about the longevity, but on my like multi-hyphenate resume, my more corporate resume. And I just don't think we can learn things about ourselves if that's our main focus. I think if we're like, if we're thinking about 5-10 years from now, it's like, sure, we should come up with goals and stuff like that. But I don't want to be at this, like, I don't want to be under the direction of someone else for 5 to 10 years. I don't, you know what I mean? It's like Michael Kushner photography is a different story because it's my own business. And I would love to do that forever and ever and ever and ever. But, you know, working in a space that requires, you know, if you're not like the executive director or like the top person, I don't necessarily know if that's something that I'm interested in. But that's what my own experience is. So longevity for me is an interesting conversation that you brought up, because I was just thinking about that the other day.
Funny.
You know?
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick little break and you're going to hear a message from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back talking more with Sarah Looper.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And we're back. Magically, we just, you know, took a millisecond of a pause, but you
that was magic.
I know, so magic.
I have to tell you, when I saw you sent me the, you know, please send me the your bio and a headshot and this and that, and you're like, and if you didn't know that I've interviewed the following people, and I was like, Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
I listened to Judy Gold a few weeks ago.
Love
Judy Gold. Hilarious. But when I have to, Carol Burnett and Lucille Ball and Gilda Radner for me.
I see the Gilda in you.
They, like the physicality of them, the quick-wittedness, the cleverness, the facial expressions, that they just use their whole bodies to communicate whatever it is that they were trying to communicate, humor, embarrassment, whatever it was. And I listened to Carol Burnett last night, and you had said something to her. Oh, whenever I'm having a bad day, I go on YouTube and I watch Carol Burnett bloopers. And I was like, I grew up. So my mom did not allow no cable in the house. So it was all these reruns. So we would always watch as a kid, Carol Burnett Show and I Love Lucy. And watching Tim Conway and like the entire team, who Lyle Waggoner and Harvey Corman
Corman
and Vicki Lawrence, like how badly I wanted to be Vicki Lawrence because I wanted to be opposite Carol Burnett. Oh my God. I sat there and I'm giggling out loud. And my husband's like, what are you watching? I was like, I'm watching Carol Burnett Bloomers. This is the best. And it brings you back. And God, what a cast of talented people. And when she said on your podcast, you know, this might only be 30 shows and it ended up being over 200. She was like, let's just go have fun. Yes, we've just got to go have fun. Just go have fun.
That reads,
and listen and react. Yes, and just react.
Basic principles of improv. That reads in your social media, though. So let's now talk about how you are sort of bringing your sommelier food and wine, all of that incredible insight expertise that you have, into a persona now, and you are now building an audience and a fan base of people who are interested in learning more. I don't know anything about wine. I don't know a single thing about wine. So the way that you're describing it, I have 800 million questions. And what's amazing is that there are so many.
I'll answer them all.
I love it. So what's amazing is that there's so many comments on your videos with the same questions. So you're building a community, which is amazing and super important as an artist. But like, how as an actor, which is where you have your foundation in, and you're an actor, how has that sort of been able to help you sort of that cross-pollinate into building an experience for people that might not think at first that what you're doing can be deliverable to an audience as a personality or with creativity, but like you are doing that. So how have you been able to make wine something entertaining and personal and build an audience with that?
Wow. What a great question. So to be clear, I did not go to school, like undergraduate or graduate school, for theater. I got my degree in history and I love history. I'm total nerd.
So are we.
And, and I came to acting late. I think I was 25 when I started. I took an acting class in Denver from a gal who was great, this great instructor. I came back to New York and I only studied for 5 years. I went to the Stella Adler Conservatory and I, for an intensive summer. And then I did a lot of Second City and did like a class or two at UCB that I preferred Second City actually. But I did a lot of theater. I did one reality TV show called To Live and Date in New York, season 2. And it's because I could not get, it was when, it was shortly after Good Will Hunting came out or a few years after. So everyone was like, you look so much like Minnie Driver. And the agent who I was freelancing with was like, he would send me out and I would get callback after callback. But I could never book the TV or film job because everyone was like, you look too much like Minnie Driver.
Wow.
And I was like, fuck, she's totally monopolized that look with the big curly hair, the big broad face. She's a little bit taller than I am though. You know, she came into one of my restaurants once and I was like, first of all, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And she's got like 2 or 3 inches on me. So she's taller and she's built a little differently. So she's a little thinner. And I went up to the table and I was the sommelier and wine director. So I went up to her table and I was like, hello. I almost said, hello, doppelganger. But I was like, don't do that, Sarah. Don't. But now I would. If she walked into Il Buco, I'd be like, hello, doppelganger. You know how long I've been told that I look like you? But I didn't at the time. But anyway, I only studied acting for 5 years. And it got to a point, and I remember the moment I was in this, and I loved Shakespeare. And I was actually good at it.
Yeah.
And I did very well at like the supporting ones, like the maids and, you know, the nurses and, you know, the ones who were brassy or outspoken. And I remember thinking, I'm so tired of other people telling me when I can work, because I wanted to work all the time. And it's up to the director, the casting director, the producer. It's up to everybody else but me. And that's when I decided to go to culinary school. And then I did culinary school, and then I got into wine through culinary school, really. And so how do I bring all this to life? Gosh, you know, I only took a handful of film and TV classes during those 5 years. And it's a very different kind of acting. As you know, when you're on camera, the slightest thing can be picked up, whether it's a blink or how you move your head or how you twitch your mouth,
how you breathe,
whatever, how you breathe. Yes. But on stage, you have to sell it to the nickel seats. Mm-hmm. So everything is much larger. And I think with the Instagram and this whole Lupersom wine community that I'm creating, and I'm glad that you said wine community that I'm creating, because I am trying to create a wine community.
You are.
I am trying to create basically a really large tasting group where everyone can say, this is what I'm getting on the wine. This is what I'm trying. What are you getting? Have you tried this? No, I haven't. Oh, I'll look for it. And the world of wine is, it's not just like oceans of wine. It's planets of oceans of wine. That's how big the wine world is. It's enormous and it's deep and it's vast. And what I try to do is just bring levity, because so many people, and some of these people are my friends, mm-hmm. and they were in my tasting group. And maybe some of them now are masters of wine or master sommeliers, or they run huge, huge programs. And some of these folks, they just take wine so seriously. Mm. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, it is grape juice. And sometimes that grape juice turns into rotten grapes because that wine was stored improperly. Or maybe that wine isn't showing well that day. And it's about having patience with the wine too. I mean, sometimes it's a knee-jerk reaction. And you're like, fuck, that is garbage. It is liquid garbage. But then sometimes on more fine and rare bottles, you have to give them a moment. And go, you know what? You've been closed up for 40 years or 50 years, or even if it's 20 years. Can you imagine being shut up for 10 or 15, 20 years in the same room, which is the same wine bottle, and you haven't had a breath of fresh air in that long? Sometimes you need a moment. And sometimes you need 24 hours to go, okay, I'm going to let that wine have a little bit of time to itself because it's been shut up in this bottle for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get people to understand that wine is alive. Mm. And wine is just like us. It really is just like people. They have how they express themselves when they're in different climates, how they express themselves after they've been in the bottle for a short time or for a long time. You need to be so accepting. It's just acceptance. That's one of the things I'm trying to teach. I don't know if I'm doing a good job of it though, but accepting the wine where it's at. And sometimes if you store it badly, like if you put the baby in the attic and don't feed it a lot and keep the lights on all the time, or let mice and other rodents in the rain come in, the wine's going to change just the way a human would change if you locked it up like that. So you've got to store it properly. And if you do, then the wine will show and it will age beautifully and it will show beautifully. And I think what I'm trying to do with Lupersom is just get people excited about wine, because it's really fun. And it involves a lot of history, which is my background. It involves people. Wine is a people business. Mm-hmm. It is a land business. Mm-hmm. It is a get the product on a freaking truck kind of business. It is so many things, but at its core, it is a people business. And it's a connection business. And it's a food business. Mm-hmm. And it's a community business. It's all these things. And wine can express its own humanity, and how that wine sees the world from its place, which is its terroir, how it grew up, the soil it grew in, the winds that affected it, the sunshine that affected it, how the viticulturist or wine grower took care of it. And then once those grapes are harvested, how is it raised? How was it raised in the winery? Was it destemmed? Was it whole cluster? Was it pressed? Was it on its skins for a long time? Was it in oak barrels or cement or amphora or stainless steel? Like, what was it in? And then how big were those barrels? Were they tiny? Were they large? Were they like enormous, like the size of small buildings? Did they rushy-rush the fermentation, or did they really do it slowly, or did they... How long was it aged in the bottle? Did the winery hold the wine back like they do in Rioja? And where the winery ages the wine for you, and most top houses in Rioja, they only release it to the market when the winery feels that it's ready to drink. Mm-hmm. Unlike Burgundy or Bordeaux, where they rush it out the door and then they're like, you have to cellar it, and then you determine when it's drinkable.
Mm.
And what I'm just trying to do with Lupersom is... I'm trying to build a really great wine community, and I feel like it's working.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
It's theater. What you're talking about is theater. That's the cross-pollination. And you're talking about selling to the cheap seats, or, you know, or every facial expression is picked up on the camera. What you're doing so beautifully is that you're finding this combination. Right. You're finding this because the gestures that, if we're going really specific here, the gestures that you make and the space that you take up in the videos are incredibly captivating immediately. So when you're scrolling, you've grabbed us already. We can't even really get past your video. So like, it's pretty
too much.
No.
At this point, I hit 40 and I was like, I don't give a flying fuck anymore.
No.
Like, you can't.
No, I think you were... This is the thing, right? It's like, what is too much, right? It's like, I am not everyone's favorite photographer. I am not... There are people that do not understand what I do as a multi-hyphenate, and I am not for them. But I am building my community of people that understand. That's part of my why is... That's why I think a why statement is so important, because then you stop wasting time trying to get the people that will never like you to like you.
I go back to a similar question. What's it for?
Yeah.
What is Bodega Wine Monday for?
I love it.
What is Lupersom for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes me smile. You said it, and I had this immediate reaction of how I feel. And what's it for? It's for me. It's for me to learn more about my relationship to wine. It's to make me laugh and to make me think about wine in a different way. And I also get to know you. I get to know who you are and your relationship to wine. And that's what it's for. It's about community. It's about relationship. And I think you do a beautiful job at that.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I mean, what you're saying is exactly what I'm trying to do.
It's working.
So
when you are coming up with these incredibly vivid and visual things that make me laugh hysterically, the way that you go like clementines that have been in the garbage for a week, in the hot sun, I am literally like, are you tasting that? Or this is are you that in tune with what you can taste? And like, also I'm like, did the wine curators like actually do that? Like, did they like use like shit like that? And are you like just creating an image for us that makes us understand?
Yes, that. So I communicate what I'm smelling, and I'm
amazing.
You asked my husband, I pick up and smell everything. I will taste anything. I will smell anything. I'm the person who, when they go to an open house, I open every single goddamn door and every single cabinet. So I'm like, what's inside? I want to know what's inside. And I'm one of six, and we all started cooking when we were all very young. I think the first thing I made was bechamel out of the joy of cooking, because I love really creamy things, like creamy sauces and ice cream and custards and that kind of textural and that kind of flavor. And once I learned how to make it, I put it on everything. I put on broccoli, I put on spaghetti. It's because my mom, not a very good cook. I'm sorry. But
love
so we all
mom,
learned how but- to cook. I love you, but horrible cook. So we learned how to cook at a young age, and which was a great thing for me. And because I love to eat, you know, in El Buco, I watched these two women, just as an aside, they came in the other day, and I'm constantly doing rounds around the restaurant, taking a lap, and these women would not start on their appetizer. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. Food goes in front of me, and I'm like, watch out. The fork is going in, and the food is going in my mouth. How do people not eat when the food's in front of them? And I'm a plate licker. Like, I'm president of the Clean Plate Club. Oh, my God. But anyway, yeah, so I just smell a lot. I walk around through Whole Foods. I pick up stuff, and I smell it. What does that smell like?
Wow.
Like, I just learned about apriums. Do you know about this? They're like apricots and plums, like cross. They are a multi-hyphenate.
The cross-pollinating.
Yes. And I had these apriums because I was like, I don't know what they taste like. They're delicious. And I was like, oh my God, underripe, like just underripe, it kind of tasted like an Alianico. And then when it was ripe, I was like, it kind of reminds me of Mencia, this grape that grows in northern Spain. I was like, oh my God, this is great. But I constantly taste, I constantly smell. And then when I smell those things and taste those things, I'm trying to conjure an image of what it smells and tastes like with my words so that you understand what it is that I'm tasting. And sometimes it smells bad and sometimes it smells great. And sometimes, you know, and also like what I smell is not what everyone else smells, and what everyone else smells might not be what I smell. Everyone has a different nose. Everyone's nose is in tune differently. I might get white pepper. You might get black pepper. Who cares? It's pepper. You know?
Right. Right.
But yeah, I just try to give shape to what it is and words to what it is that I'm smelling and tasting so that people know, can picture it in their minds.
And I have a question for you, because I love all my clients. There's so much deep, there's so much detailed work in order to get a headshot that in order to have a really great session, there's a lot of work that you have to do prep wise, right? For an audition, for the first day of rehearsal, for opening night. It's the same with headshots. It's the same with being in my studio. I think there's a lot of work, and you have to be in tune with who you are. Now, there's two different versions of I don't know that I think exist. There's the I don't know, but I'm going to make a choice and I'm going to commit to it and we're going to figure that out. And then there's I don't know what I'm doing here. I can't think of anything. I have complete paralysis and I can't think of anything. I'm a fan of the I don't know, let's explore. And for the clients that come in with, I don't know, let's explore so that we can learn about something. Those headshots are always super magical. They live in this place of like, what's going to happen next? How is this going to shape my career? I'm glad I committed to it. Or even I'm glad I committed to it because I know that's not what I need or want. Let's change the look. I don't like that background. Let's change the background where I brought this outfit instead. What does this say? And, you know, we lean into it because there's that sense of exploration. There is a tie in here because I want to know, what do you have to lose for asking those questions yourself?
Oh, and going, nothing.
Exactly.
Yes. And this kind of exploration that you're talking about, it's spontaneity. It's discovery. It's living on the edge of your seat. It's when I was at Stella Adler, I'm spacing on the my instructor's name, Betsy. Oh my God. I feel terrible for not remembering her name. And in one of our first classes, she was like, okay, everyone, you put your tutor, you slide your tutor to the front of your seat. And it was like one, two, three. She goes, and when I say go, you stand up. And so she would go one, go, and you'd have to stand up. You sit back down on the edge of your seat. And she'd go one, two, go. And then you have to stand up. And she was like, and that expectation, that living on the edge of your seats, she was like, that's how I want you to act. That's what I want you to bring to your role. Yeah. And I was like, fuck yes.
Stakes.
Yes. But going into that sense of discovery and spontaneity and exploration, that is the multi-hyphenate life. That is why I have so many things on my resume, because I was like, well, I don't know it. Let's try it. I don't know journalism. Let's try it. I don't know wine retail. Let me try it. Let me try it out. What happens if you don't like it? You leave. Big deal. So what? You get another job. So what? The job doesn't define you. And people are like, oh, I got to be successful. What is success to you? What does it look like? Is it money in the bank? Is it a feeling that you're helping people? Is it an Obie, a Tony, a Grammy? Is it a family? Mm-hmm. Is it marriage? What is success? And success is different to every single person. And if you live life on the edge of your seat, I feel like there's no way you can't be successful. And just go try.
Sarah Luber of Luber Sum, you are amazing. And I could talk to you for hours. And I don't want to wrap this up, but we gotta. Where can we find you on socials? And how can we know more about you, work with you? How do we get involved?
Oh, well, you can find me at Luber Sum, S-O-M-M, on the Insta and also on TikTok. I am presently working on creating wine classes that are a la carte, but also as a course that you could study as a course on Patreon. That is coming soon. I have my hands in so many cookie jars right now, and I'm a one-woman show. I'm getting to a point where I think I might need some help, actually. So maybe I'll ask you questions about, like off camera, about how to do this well.
Yeah.
And something that I've learned too with Luber Sum is just get it out there. Put it up. Doesn't matter if it's perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. And success for me sometimes is just getting up the Bodega Wine Monday on the first try.
I love that.
And it is what it is. And if people don't like it, don't look.
Right. Scroll past. But don't, because it's amazing. You know, we could talk about this later, but for anyone listening that's wondering about getting an assistant or an intern, even, because there's so many college kids that are so able, and of course compensate, that is a big thing. Compensate, please, you know, figure out ways to, you know, collaborate and all that wonderful stuff. It just takes all of that little stuff that you're like, about, you know, and it eliminates that for you so that you could just focus on what you're creating. It just alleviates. So if you're thinking, even if you're starting out, anyone listening, if you're starting out with a new project, you are valid for an assistant. You are valid for an intern. It just building a team of like-minded people that have the same vision and why and core as you helps make the job easier. So Sarah and I are going to talk about that in another date. And if anyone has any questions about that or other small business building or the theater or new listeners, you want to get into Dear Multi-Hyphenate and want to know more, I also teach workshops. I do private coaching. Come to the studio for headshots. And also listen, download, share, all that good stuff, Dear Multi-Hyphenate. You can find me on Instagram at Dear Multi-Hyphenate and at The Michael Kushner. You're all amazing. Sarah, you are incredible. And thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Me too. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.